Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Dion. For those of you who don't know me, I'm married to the lovely lady who just did all the announcements. Yes, I am. it's my pleasure and my privilege to share the word with you today. So before I start, I just want us to just consecrate this time in prayer. So if you can close your eyes with me, please. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the provision that you've made, God. Thank you that you've given us your word, Lord, and that we can know that your word is breathed by your spirit, God. It's inspired, Lord, and it's life-giving, Lord. And we just want to thank you, God, for this time that we can just spend looking at your word, Lord. And we want to just raise our expectation, God. We want to come to you, Lord, and we want to receive life, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we acknowledge, God, that we cannot unlock your word in our own strength, Lord. So we also just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come as the teacher, the one who teaches us all things and the one who leads us into all truth. In the name of Jesus, Lord, come and open our eyes. In the name of Jesus, Lord, open our ears, God, that we would hear the words of life, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would be nourished and fed, God. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are faithful, God. Lord, that your word will not return void, God, like the water that falls, drops of rain, Lord, as certain as they are to hit the ground, Lord, your word will return to you, having accomplished that which you sent it forth to do. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we honor you and we thank you. Amen. Amen. So, I thought, seeing that most of us will be coming back from a holiday, I'll make this a nice heavy message. Is everybody up for that? No, I'm actually only... I'm actually only joking. If you come to study the Word of God, you actually find that even the things that sound like it's heavy and difficult is also life-giving. It's so profound. So I'm just wanting us to. I'm going to make one point today. All I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you that you must take up your cross and follow Jesus. That's the only way to follow Jesus. That's the only point that I'm going to make. But I'm going to trust God that by the end of this afternoon, when I finish speaking, that you will both understand what that means and that you'll also be psyched up to go and do it. Amen. So if you can turn with in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. You can just follow up on the screen there. But Jesus said on more than one occasion, he spoke to his disciples in a smaller group, and he also spoke to a broad audience on various occasions, saying, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, I think many people sort of, they read that and they immediately see that as like one of the deep theological scriptures in the Bible. It's sort of, I don't know if anybody can relate, but when I see that scripture, I tend to think, yeah, what that basically says is that Christians need to carry a lot of extra baggage with them because it's not going to be easy, but that's just their cross to bear. That's just the way that it is. Can anybody relate with that, you know, with that understanding of that scripture? Or was it just me? It looks like it's just me. But it makes me think of what it was like to be a Springbok supporter, like in the years 2000 to 2003. You'd sort of know that the Tri-Nations were coming, and you'd know that it wasn't going to be nice because the team was probably not going to do well, but you'd still get your Sakkie Droë Bokkoms and your Sambusa and your Springbok Veldkussentjie, and you'd go to the game, and you'd watch them lose, and that was just your cross to bear. And the good news that I want to share with us today is that Christianity is actually not like that. I actually want to hold before you an option B in terms of how to understand the scripture and how to apply it. You can either see it as making a theological statement, such as saying, okay, Christianity is going to be difficult, so brace yourself. Or you can see it as being practical advice. Now, I don't think of myself as old, but the following slide is going to reveal my exact age. I used to play this computer game called Space Quest on a on like an amber monitor. It wasn't even in color. But there, what you see over there is a little man who's on a space quest, and there's a big monster scratching his head. Is that clear to everybody? And just to give you background, I gather from the laughter, there are some people who actually know what's happening here. Steph still plays this game. This little man is on a quest, and he needs to, as he goes, he needs to pick up all sorts of little artifacts and whatnot so that he can, let me just not get in your way, so that he can complete his quest. So he'll pick up like a piece of underwear that he needs to sling a stone and all sorts of things like this. And then he gets to this point where that little gap in the rock there is closed and he can't come through. So he needs to blow on a little whistle, and then this big monster comes and it breaks it down the rock. Now there's a gap, but the monster is going to kill him if he doesn't take out a Rubik's Cube, which he had to pick up somewhere else in the game, and give it to the monster. So the monster sits and he plays with the Rubik's Cube. And that Rubik's Cube is a vital piece of equipment. It's a vital tool for this man to complete his quest. Am I making my point clear? I can carry on. Now, okay, those of you who are not into computer games, you can also choose to view it in the light of the next slide. MacGyver had his knife. And that's how, you know, that's how he got on with his mission. That's how he succeeded in his quest. So I'm here to propose to you that when Jesus says, guys, you need to take up your cross and follow me, that cross is actually like that little Rubik's Cube or like MacGyver's knife. It's a vital piece of equipment that you need to bring with you. That's why Jesus is telling you, pick it up, carry it with you. So that may sound like quite a wild statement. So let's just go back to the scriptures. Now, before we can really do this, we need to define what our quest is. Now, scripture often talks about the same thing in terms of different illustrations. So basically what I'm just going to do is I'm going to look at a couple of different illustrations, but it's scripture talking about the same thing. It's talking about our quest. And Jesus spoke about our quest in terms of building a tower. So if you read with me there, Luke chapter 14, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In other words, we're actually on the same page here. Then he says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So here we have a man who's got a quest, he's got a mission to build a tower. And if he doesn't sit down beforehand and actually decide whether or not he's got enough to finish it, he may end up being unsuccessful. He may end up not being able to complete his quest. A different translation speaks about whether he has the means to finish it. And there where Jesus says, whether he has the means to finish it, I want you to think about that little tool. Whether he has his MacGyver knife so that he can finish his tower. And we saw this actually illustrated elsewhere in Scripture. If you can go to the next slide. A rich young man came to Jesus and he said to him, Lord, what must I do to get access, to gain eternal life? And then Jesus referred him back to the law. And the young man says to Jesus, you know, you're in luck, Jesus. I've been doing this stuff since since Kinsbien. I've been doing it for as long as I can remember. You are absolutely in luck. And effectively what he was saying to Jesus is, Jesus, I've been building this tower since I can remember. And then we see Jesus looking at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And let me just clarify a little bit how I'm wanting us to apply the scripture. This man was saying to Jesus, Jesus, I've been building this tower since I could lift a brick. And I've been making work of it. I think you'll be suitably impressed. And then Jesus basically tells him, okay, in order for you to finish the tower, in order for you to put the capstone on your tower, this is what you need to do. And the man looks at it and he realizes, I don't have enough spiritual currency. And he walks away from his tower not having finished it. Can you all see that? So that's like in Levende Lever, what Jesus was speaking about in the previous scripture we looked at. This man started to build a tower, and then when Jesus told him, that's going to be your cost to finish it, he ended up in a situation where he actually didn't have the means to finish it. And similarly, scripture talks about entering through the narrow door. Can we just go back to that? Jesus, and verse 24, in the second part of that verse, says, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Just keep that in the back of your mind. We're going to come back to that. Then elsewhere in scripture, cue again, Jesus says, I want you to strive to enter through the narrow gate. Now, I don't know how many people have not been to the Kango Caves, but there's a part of that called the Devil's Chimney where you need to squeeze through. It's quite narrow. That's maybe a good illustration. But Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. In other words, they're going to try it, but they won't fit. And then, once again, I want to hold before you the MacGyver knife of spiritual plastic surgery, if you want to think about it that way. But Jesus has made provision for us to have the means to finish our tower. And if you want to think of our quest, this is simply just another way to define or to describe the same quest. Our quest can be to build a tower, and we need to have the means to finish it. Our quest can be to enter through the narrow gate, and we actually need to be able to fit through it. So there are a couple of, I don't necessarily want to use the word obstacles, but there are a couple of tricky scenarios that we'll need to negotiate. That's just a truth of Scripture. But the good news today is that we are equipped for this quest. Jesus and God has made provision for us to get hold of the means to complete the tower. In other words, it's never a credit crunch in heaven. You can get hold of that currency. You can get hold of the finance so that you can complete your tower. And God has made provision for us to get rid of the excess flab so that we can fit through that narrow gate, so that we can get on with our journey, get on with our quest. And all we must do is we must bring this tool along. Is everybody following me? We must bring our MacGyver knife or our Rubik's Cube along. And like I said in the beginning, it's quite simple. The tool that you need to bring along is your cross. Now, I suspect that most people are slightly amused, but it still doesn't mean anything to anybody. Am I right? Okay, so let's just have a look at, okay, now what does it mean? I'm going to try to keep it as basic as possible. What does it mean to carry your cross? Well, the first thing that should come to mind is that Jesus carried his cross. When he was on his way to be crucified, he carried his cross himself. So if you think about that, if you want to try and, I'm not a lawyer and I don't have too much of a legal mind, but if I pretend to think about it in legal terms, I would say that Jesus was an accomplice in his own death or his own murder, because he actually contributed. And that, in simplistic terms, basically means, or that's what carrying your cross means, beg your pardon. It refers to being an accomplice, carrying with you everything that you need to actually orchestrate the death of yourself, your flesh, or riches, as we saw in that earlier scripture, if you trust in riches, Jesus said you're going to have a hard time to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus doesn't have a problem with people having lots of money, but he says if you trust in riches, you're going to have a very hard time to get into heaven. So what does he do? He makes provision and he says, bring your cross along with you. And when you get to that point, when you get to that crossroad and you realize, I trust in riches and I'm finding it difficult to follow Jesus. I'm finding it difficult to actually want to do what he says. All you must do is you dig a little hole, you stick your cross in it, and you nail riches to the cross until it dies. And then you take your cross out the hole again and then you carry on. You can't trust in riches anymore because it's gone. It died. And there are many ways in which we can apply this. And money is not the only thing, but money is a big thing, you know, for us as humans. And it's so important for us to actually do stuff in the natural that actually demonstrates our commitment to carrying our cross. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why tithing is important. God doesn't need the money. It's so important for us to actually nail riches to our cross so that our possessions do not own us. We actually possess our possessions and we can manage and steward it according to the will of God. So I'm going to repeat that carrying your cross refers to bringing along everything that you need to orchestrate the death of whatever it is that's going to hold you back. If it's riches, if it's a certain relationship, if it's a sport, if it's, you know, whatever it is, Jesus says, you can't follow me unless you take up your cross and you bring it with me. Because sometimes I'm going to go through some tricky patches. And if you've got baggage, in terms of worldly baggage, you're going to need to get rid of it. And it's sometimes difficult to actually just cut it off. It's difficult to make that separation. So you need to nail it to the cross. And you need to be the one who actually initiates that, call it a murder scene, where you murder riches or you murder, you know, your longing for acceptance from a certain person or a certain crowd, whatever the case may be. I'm really trusting that, you know, as I share this, that God will show each one of us what are the things, you know, that would hold us back. It may not be an issue now, but the thing is, Jesus says you must carry your cross with you because at any given time, you may be required to nail something to it. And what he wants from us is a willingness to do that. I want us to just look at this. Abraham carried his cross. That sounds like a funny statement. But in Genesis 22, verse 3, it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Also in verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. So God came to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, he didn't say to Abraham, Abraham, this is a test. Scripture tells us that. But God just came to Abraham, and he said, I want you to take your son, and I want you to go to that specific place, Mount Moriah, which is the place where Jesus was crucified, and I want you to go and sacrifice your son. So Abraham took with him a knife, and he took with him flint for the fire, and he took with him wood with which to build the altar. So in that sense, Abraham, the father of the faith, the man of whom Scripture speaks, saying that he was a friend of God, he was justified because of his faith, he also understood this thing. He subscribed to the same principle. He carried his cross with him, and it was simply a willingness to take along with you everything that you were going to need to get distractions out of the way. And I want to actually just explain, you know, God's not going to come to me and say to me, Dion, I want you to sacrifice Michael. Because God's not into human sacrifice. What happened with Abraham is God actually spoke to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I don't want you to stress about Ishmael. It's Isaac in whom your seed will be blessed. God promised Abraham descendants like the sands of the sea and like the stars of the heavens. And God wanted to see if Abraham believed his promise. And that's what scripture says. Abraham believed that God was going to bless his descendants through Isaac. So much so that he knew that he believed that if God asked him to kill Isaac, then God would obviously just raise him from the dead again because his children were going to come through Isaac. So it's not a... So I don't want us to get a warped idea of God wanting us to give him stuff. There's nothing that we can give God that can enrich him. The stuff that God would require us to nail to the cross or the stuff that would keep us back, the stuff that would prevent us from entering through the narrow gate, and the stuff that would drain our cash flow so that we can't finish our towers. Is everybody still with me? So, just I think in closing, I also just want to compare it to something completely different. You know, any sensible young lady will enjoy the attentions of a young man, and it's nice when young guys get they fall in love and they get all romantic. They'll write a poem, maybe they'll sing a song, and all those things are great, but it gets to a point. I can see Kubus and Roselda are expecting to be used as the example here again. But it gets to a point where that lady, if she's sensible, is going to say to the young man, listen, it's fine if you want to sing me love songs, and it's fine if you want to write me letters, but this needs to be going somewhere. We can't just, it can't just stay here. You actually need to put a ring on my finger, and you need to say to me in front of witnesses that I will love you, and for rich or for poor, till death do us part. And then, it's a bit of a funny example, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Jesus spoke about we need to pick up our cross if we're going to follow after him. And that same way, if a young man is going to follow after that lady, there comes a point where she'll draw a line and say, you're not coming past this line. I'm going to bed now, and you're going home. Until you get to the point where there's that covenant commitment. And you before witnesses, you make those promises and you say, for richer or for poorer, for better or worse, I will love you till death do us part. Before God and before witnesses. Then they married. And then all of a sudden that changes. And I want to compare what Jesus is saying to that, because Jesus actually wants the same from us. Carrying our cross also means that we make a commitment to be willing to nail to it whatever. Whatever he's going to ask of us, whatever is going to come up, in the same way that we've committed to our wife, that we will love them, whatever the circumstances. Jesus says, if you come to a place where you can make that commitment to me, then we can really go places. Then we can really go into the inner room and not have to worry about having to part ways and then go sleep in separate bedrooms. And there's like a boundary that needs to be maintained, and real intimacy is not possible until you actually get to that point. So a marriage covenant is a public commitment to love the person whatever the circumstances, and to pick up your cross and to carry it with you is a similar commitment to be willing to nail whatsoever to your cross, whatever would be required. And as soon as you have that commitment, then all of a sudden, there's so much to work with. I remember when we were doing marriage preparation, it may sound quite radical, but the Pastor William, who was leading the marriage preparation, he said, I want you to turn to your future spouse now And I want you to promise them that I will never divorce you. And we did that. And he said, now you can sort out anything without there being that emotional blackmail, back door open, saying, you know, legally I can cop out. If you can actually sort that out, close that door and say, that door can't open, so now we have to sort it out. You'd be surprised, you know, how you've actually made it possible to sort it out. Because most of the time what it takes is for you just to apply your mind. But it's difficult to apply your mind if you've got your eye on a back door. So that's all I wanted to say, really. So I'll say it again. You must carry your cross with you if you want to follow Jesus. If you don't have it with you, you're going to be caught. I don't really want to say with your pants down, but but you must have it with you if you're going to get out of that tight predicament. That is your multi-purpose tool that you're going to MacGyver your way out of trouble. You're going to use your cross. And that's why it's so important that it was important to Jesus. I mean, he said it at various stages. It's all over the Gospels. He said, you can't follow me if you don't have your cross. Just like you can't come onto the construction site without a safety helmet. It's not about wanting to be difficult. It's for your own good. No, I'm not going to ask you to stand now. Can we get the communion tokens ready? So long. And so as we just wind down the service, I really want to give time and opportunity for the Holy Spirit just to work in all of our hearts. If you feel in any way that you need to respond in any way to this message, especially if you realize that I'm not fitting through the gate where I am currently. I'm actually on the verge of turning away from my tower without it being finished because I don't have the means. You can start handing it out. Thanks. If you're in that place, I really want to encourage you to respond to God and to say yes to the provision that He's made available, and to say yes to picking up your cross, bringing your MacGyver knife with you. You know, so that you can deal with those, you know, with those issues. Those, you know, Scripture talks about sins that so easily ensnare us. Many times, it's not necessarily things that we do that ensnare us. It's sometimes just things that we want or things that we hold on to. So that's one specific way that I really sense that. If you're sitting here today and you feel that that's where you are, I really want to trust God for a meeting with you, for a breakthrough, you know, so that you can get on with your quest, because that's why Jesus came at the end of the day. He said He wanted us to have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. You know, and if our life is a quest, the point is actually to get on with it and not to struggle with one point, and just not getting beyond that one point, because there's something holding us back. So, whatever it might be, I really want to encourage you when we finished with the communion and we've prayed, that you come forward and one of the guys or the ladies will pray with you, and just to explain what we do. It's not about wanting to feel good about, yo, somebody responded to the message. It's just that Scripture says that if you hear the word of God, if He speaks to your heart and you don't do it, but you walk away, it says that it's like a man who looks in a mirror and he sees his face, and he sees that he needs to comb his hair or needs a haircut or needs to shave, but he walks away and then he forgets about it. And so, quite simply, it's not to be funny, but there's a special grace when we gather together as a corporate body of believers for God to actually say something to you. He'll show you something in a mirror. Thanks. God can show you something in the mirror that is His word over here, that you would, that you wouldn't see if you were alone at your house or on the beach or wherever. It's not taking anything away from personal quiet time. But there's just a grace where we gather together as a corporate body of believers. So that's why I do this, and that's why we do this, and it's something that actually bugged me for a long time. I couldn't really figure out why it gets done, and then God spoke to me and explained to me, this is why. So if that's you, if you're sitting here and you feel like God has showed you something in the mirror that needs to get sorted out, I really want to encourage you to take a bold step tonight and come forward with the expectation that it would be sorted out. Amen. Can we all just stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, God, that you, Lord, you're a God of abundance, God. Lord, you say that you've made provision for us, Lord, according to the riches of your glory in Christ Jesus, God. And we thank you so much, God, that, Lord, when you died on the cross for us, God, when you came down to earth in the form of a man, Lord, that you didn't leave anything undone, God. When you died on the cross, Lord, you breathed out and you said that it is finished. And we thank you, Lord, for your provision today, God, that you have done everything, God. In the name of Jesus, we declare that we believe that you've done it and it is finished. It's available for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. So we just honor you tonight, God, as the one whose body was broken for us, Lord. You were bruised for our iniquities, God. Lord, even before we could choose, Lord, before we existed, God, even though you know, Lord, that we would so often just choose against you, Lord, you still chose to come and demonstrate your love to us on the cross, Lord. And so we just choose tonight, Lord, to respond to that. And we want to thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. And as we eat this word, God, we choose to remember what you did, Lord. We choose to remember what it means, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we also do it as a declaration into the spirit realm that you died and you rose again, that your body was broken so that ours wouldn't have to be broken, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. So I also just, I pray, God, for each one of us, Lord, who may be sick, Lord, in need of healing, God. I thank you that you've made provision for it, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Let's eat together. Lord, tonight we also just acknowledge, Lord, that we do not belong to ourselves, God. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, that your blood is enough, Lord, to pay the price, God. Lord, for our sins, for our iniquities, Lord, that you wash us, that you cleanse us, Lord, to be white as snow, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father. Lord, I thank you, God, that as we, Lord, as we drink this, as we partake, Lord, of the symbol of your blood, God, that, Lord, that you break every chain, God, that would want to hold us back, Lord. In the name of Jesus, everything, Lord, that would want to ensnare us, God, whatever riches may be to us, Lord, individually, God, I thank you that you've made provision, Lord, for us not to be bound to it, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, but that we can nail it to a cross, to get separation, Lord, so that we can get on with our quest, Lord. That we can get on with life. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Let's drink together. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for time like this that we can just spend it in your presence, God. Thank you that you've made a way for us, Lord, to have access like this, Lord, just to enjoy you, Lord, just to enjoy your presence. Lord, we just want to declare and say to you that it is precious to us, Lord. Lord, one day spent in your presence, God, one day spent being so intimately and acutely aware of the fact that you are here and being so aware of your beauty, Lord. Lord, it's better than 1,000 days spent elsewhere, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we worship you. Father, I pray for your blessing upon each person, Lord, as we go into this week, God. I thank you, God, that you have not called us, Lord, to struggle, God. I thank you that you have not called us, Lord, to lug excess baggage around with us, God. I thank you that you have not come to make our lives more difficult, Lord, but that you've come to give us life more abundantly, Lord. In the name of Jesus. So I pray for each person over here, Lord. Each person, Lord, that has heard my voice tonight, Lord, and that has heard your word, Father, that you would make your grace abound to them, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for your favor upon them, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, that they would have the grace, Lord, to identify, Lord, those things that they need to nail to the cross, God. Lord, and if there are people, Lord, who haven't picked up their cross yet, they're trying to do life without their MacGyver knife, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're calling them, Lord, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. So as I just close this meeting, I just want to extend two invitations. The first, like I said, is for anyone who would feel convicted by the Holy Spirit about something that they need to nail to a cross, to their cross, something that they need to actually bring to God in order to get separation so that they can get on with life. If that's you, I want you to, as everybody goes and has their coffee, I want you just to step forward so that we can pray for you. And if there's anybody in this place who's, you feel like you've never actually picked up your cross, you've actually never made that decision to follow Jesus, if you want to start your quest tonight, I want to invite you to come forward as well. We'd love to pray with you. We can't save you. We can't do any of those things, but Jesus is our Savior. And we'd love to pray with you and to walk around with you as you get to know Jesus. Amen.